Philippians chapter 4. Tonight I want to give you three things in the partnership of New Testament missions. Three links, if you will, in this partnership of missions. And let me say to you tonight, missions, New Testament missions, is a partnership. And you're going to find this out tonight. The church of Paul is humanly writing. This is the inspired word of God. You know that. Amen. But the human writer, if you will, the penman, Paul's writing here to the church at Philippi, and this church is not his sending church. His sending church is Acts chapter 13, the church at Antioch. This is a church that Paul, I believe, has started, amen, but it's not a sending church, and yet Paul talks about this partnership, this fellowship that he has with this church. And we'll start in verse number 13, and notice what Paul says here tonight. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, you may have not thought this, but we take that verse, and rightly so, and it's a good application because there's only one interpretation. There are many applications, amen? The application that we do is when we get in trouble, or, and I don't mean trouble in a bad way, I mean we get in a storm, amen? There's a trial comes in our life, or maybe we feel like, preacher said, we need you out for this soul-winning campaign on that Saturday, the missions conference, and preacher might say it, and you might in your heart say, man, 3,000 doors, praise God, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that would not be a wrong application at all. It's in context with the interpretation. But Paul here is speaking about New Testament missions. And I'm going to show you that. He says to the church at Philippi, he says, I can do all things. Anything that God asks me to do, anything that is Christ and centered around his will, Paul says, I can do. Now look what he says here. Notwithstanding ye, this church. He said, now I want you to understand, I can do anything the Lord calls me to do. Amen? You believe that tonight? You better believe it. It's the Bible. Amen? A West Virginian gets called up here, somehow a Buckeye ends up in West Virginia. You know what? People say, you're going to lose all your support, Brother Males. You go down there to start a church. Church, hey, listen, going from Scotland, Nova Scotia, that was a bold enough move, but man, going from Nova Scotia now, coming in America and starting a church. Man, we don't need churches in America like we do around the world. That's not true. Believe me, amen. And so you say, preacher, you're going to lose all your support. Well, I'll tell you something. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So Paul says, if you don't mind, I'm going to loosen this. Paul says, hey, I can do anything the Lord calls me to do. But look what he says. And I assure you, if you talk to Brother Cleveland, Brother Males does not preach this way usually. I am a mess tonight. So if you like this message and you get something out of it, you'll like me when I'm whole. Amen. Now look what he says in verse 14. So Paul says, hey, I want you to know, Philippi, I can do whatever the Lord calls me to do, all things through Christ which strengthens me. But notwithstanding that, in other words, in light of that now, ye have well done. You've done well that ye did, what's that word? Communicate with my affliction. Now he says this, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, what beginning of what gospel? Was Paul around when the gospel began, if you will, when Christ came to this earth and took on human flesh? Paul didn't know Christ. He's talking about when he came to Macedonia and when he came to Philippi and he preached the gospel and people got saved. He said, you remember in the beginning of the gospel? He said, look at this. He says, now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated, no church partner, no church got involved or entangled with me concerning, he says, as concerning what? What's that word? Giving and receiving. Now I want to say something to you. You got a missions conference coming up, and you guys like missionaries. I didn't know you like missionaries so much. You support 21. Let me tell you something, though. Any missionary that comes through here, and by the way, the word missionary is not even in the Bible. Really, what you're supporting is New Testament church planning, New Testament evangelization. Amen. Now think about this. This is interesting, amen. How many times have you heard a missionary say this? And it's either through ignorance or it's through fake humility. I don't really need your support as much as I need your prayers. You ever hear that before? I'm going to tell you something. That's not what Paul said. They must be more spiritual than Paul. Paul said, I think you have done well in this area of communicating, partnering with me in the area of giving and receiving. Paul said you've done well. Why? Look what he says here in verse 16 now. He says, for even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my, what's that word? Necessity. Paul said, my necessity, you partook of that. Amen? And look what he says now. So let's kind of look at this quick, and we're going to get in the outline. We're getting in the message in just a moment. It's going to flow. But I need you to get this basis first. Paul says in verse 13 to Philippi, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I don't think Paul's being boastful. I don't think he's being proud. I don't think he's hurt. In fact, he's happy with the church at Philippi. But I think Paul's making a statement so they understand something, that what I'm about to discourse, what I'm about to give to you, Philippi, you need to understand, I can do anything that God calls me to do with or without you. Amen? But you've done very well. And he's going to explain to you how they've done well. He said, you've done well. Notwithstanding, that aside, we can, all of us can do what Christ wants us to do through his strength alone. But you've done well because you've been involved. You've communicated with me in the area of giving and receiving. But then he explains to them what this giving's about. Look at verse 17. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your what? Account. I want to preach a message to you. Three links in this partnership, this communicating idea, this joining of Grace Baptist Church with whatever church planters Grace Baptist Church decides to join with. There's a linkage that Paul talks about. Three things that must be a part of this partnership. And if it's all there, then it works to the glory of God, and the church planter does well, and you do well. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to definitely pray that my coughing stops. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight that the power of the Holy Ghost would be upon this place. And Lord, I need my voice. I need my voice tonight, Lord. I thank you for this dear pastor on pretty short notice, Lord, scheduling me in. And Lord, I pray tonight that we would see your honor and glory accomplished here. If there would be one tonight, we think that most people are saved on a Wednesday night. But if there's one that's not saved, I pray they would come to Christ. But Lord, I pray for those that are saved tonight that you would encourage us in your word, Father. And again, just help me to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just want to talk to you tonight for a few moments, as long as my voice is going to hold up. I want to give you some things concerning this idea of these links in this partnership. Now, Paul makes it very clear here that as he's speaking to the church of Philippi, he's coming to the end of the epistle, coming to the end of the letter, and he's encouraging them. He's not upset with them. In fact, he's very pleased with them. And he says, and I think it's sad, don't you think, that Paul, as many churches as he started, not only in Macedonia, but even before Macedonia. Macedonia was on his second journey. On his first journey, he established at least five churches already. And those churches, I believe, probably established churches. Amen. And yet this is the only church in the whole linkage, amen, that apparently is doing this communicating or partnershiping with the Apostle Paul. But there are three things here that Paul brings out. And I want to bring it out to you tonight. Three links. And if you will tonight, so you can really, this will come home to you. Think of it this way. These are three things that you want in your relationship between you and the church planters that you already support and the church planters that you will support. Amen. Because it makes the healthy bond that God wants you to have in this idea of missions. Number one, think about this. Paul, first of all, desired a link or a connection, amen, in the idea of investment. And we already read those scriptures there, but Paul says this in verse 17. He says, not because I desire a gift. The word gift literally means a present or a handout. You know what Paul is saying to the church at Philippi? When I came to you or when you heard of my necessity, whether it was me there or whether it was through epistles that I had sent you, letters, Paul says, hey, when you heard of my necessity, you gave me. You kicked in. You gave physically. You gave financially. It was an area of giving and receiving. You gave maybe materially. You gave to that. But he said, I want you to understand that that giving was not a present. It wasn't a handout. It wasn't because you felt sorry for me, amen. It wasn't because I was a good missionary. It wasn't because you wanted to do a charitable deed. Paul said, what you did is you gave, you invested fruit, amen, and that abounded to your account. You know what the word fruit here means? The word fruit means increase. Paul says this, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit or your increase so that I can make it abound, which means to superabound. In other words, to multiply. So Paul says, I want your fruit. You say, what's our fruit, preacher? What's our increase here? Well, a lot of times we think of finances, but the truth is, amen, your increase here is God blessing this ministry and seeing people saved and seeing people called to preach and young people called to serve God and to see this work abound. Amen. This is your increase. You have fruit here. I don't know what you started with. I don't know what you... Every church plan I've ever been in goes up pretty quick, levels off. You lose some. Amen. Amen. Preacher shaking his head. I've been around the block a few years. Amen. But the point is, the fruit is the people that get saved and the ministry grows in faith and knowledge of Christ. Well, listen, Paul says, hey, I want to take that fruit, the ministry you're doing here, and I want to make it to where it'll be multiplied, amen, and abound to your account. The word account there means work or ministry. So to sum it up, this is what Paul's saying. I want you to invest of your increase in me, so that I can take it, and as the man with the talents that the Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant, I want to make your increase or your ministry here abound or increase in places where you can't. So you know what? Cleveland Baptist Church, who supported me, obviously, ever since I left, and every church that ever supported me, you know what they're getting when I'm on furlough? And this is what furlough is. They're getting a report on their investment. Amen? That's what they're getting, a report on their investment. Now think about it. If missions is an investment, if the first link is investment, you're investing. It's the idea of you're taking what you have, giving a portion to someone so that that can have a multiplying effect. Amen? There are three things that you need to think about in an investment. Number one, an investment requires a relationship. Amen? An investment requires a relationship. You're not going to take $1,000 of your hard-earned money. You're not going to take $10 of your hard-earned money and walk down the street and have a sign on your back or a bullhorn and just yell out, hey, would anybody like to take my money and invest it in whatever way they would like to? No, you need to know the person that you're financially investing in. This church had a relationship with Paul. Let me prove it to you. Look at chapter 4 here, verse number 1. The Bible says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche, and that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true, what's that word there? Now, Pastor said you usually have Bible study on Wednesday. I like that. I like teaching, amen, as much as preaching and yelling. But listen, let's talk together tonight. Yoke fellow. You know what the word yoke fellow means here? The word yoke fellow means colleague. That's what it means. Paul says, hey, he speaks about some people in particular. He's speaking about some folks in this church. And he says, as of the church, I believe as a whole, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow or colleague, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Go back to Philippians chapter 1 and notice the first verse here with me, if you will. Philippians chapter 1, the first verse. Paul says this. He says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Now, let me ask you a question quick, so we know who Paul's speaking to here. Where do you find today, ever since the New Testament to this day, what do we call a place where we find saved people, a pastor, and deacons? What do we call that place? A church, amen? So, Paul's not speaking like the ecumenical crowd would want us to think, to just the saved. Paul's speaking to the church at Philippi. And here's what he says to this church, and this church at North Ridgeville, Ohio. Look what he says. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. Now, we always stop with verses like that and say, praise God, we ought to be praying as pastors and church planters for our people all the time. Paul tells you why he's praying for them. Look what he says, always in every prayer of mine, and for you all, making requests with joy. Why? For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The word fellowship here simply means, friends, partnership. Paul says to the church at Philippi, he ends with showing them how their involvement and their investment is paid off, but he begins with saying, hey, I pray for you always, all the time, and every time I remember you, I pray for you. Why? For your partnership, your fellowship with me in the preaching of the gospel, amen, to the regions beyond. Do you understand, folks? Paul is dealing with an investment here, he says. Giving to missions is not just a nice thing to do. It's not like the American heart. We're the most generous people in the world when it comes to charity. Trust me, we are. But this is not a charity. We're doing the work of the living God, and it's investment. You giving benefits you, amen, for eternity. So he says very simply, there's a relationship here. But there also has to be a little bit of a responsibility, don't you think? Look with me in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to finish the last two quicker than we're doing the first one. So bear with me tonight. Don't start trying to time this out in thirds because we have 3 points. Amen? Trust me, you can't always do that with a preacher. You know that by now. Go to Acts chapter 13, and let me give you this tonight. Acts chapter 13. If an investment is going to work, and I'm not basing this upon Wall Street's definition of investment. I'm basing this on God's definition of an investment. If an investment's going to work properly, you have to have the right relationship. You need to know the guy. But you also have to have some responsibility, amen? And the responsibility is twofold. There's responsibility on the church's part, your part, amen, and there's responsibility on the church planner's part. Now, they kind of go hand in hand, if you see what I'm saying, and I'll show you what I mean. Look in Acts chapter 13. The Bible says this. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch. Now, remember, the guy that is writing to Philippi, the guy that humanly is penning these words, the guy that is humanly speaking about from the gospel when it first came to you, this guy that's talking about this partnership with this church at Philippi, let's look and see where he came from. The Bible says this. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Mananim which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. That would be Paul. Amen. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work wherein do I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and had laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Let me just say a couple things here, and we're going to move along. I believe that what we are lacking today in New Testament missions, We have gotten this idea almost like the 70s and 80s, and I lived through those times. I was saved in the late 70s. There was this almost, nobody would teach it, nobody would say it, but it was lived, amen. This idea that if a church got bigger, and it had more people, and it had more ministries, that made it a good church, amen. But if a church was smaller, it mustn't be doing something right, and it wasn't necessarily good. Show me that in the book of Acts. Show it to me. I'll show you where the Apostle Paul says this. Greet the church that is in thy house. You know what our problem is? We have as much tradition in our churches today as all of Catholicism that I was in for years. You know what tradition is? Jesus said to the Pharisees, and by the way, let me remind you before you say Judaism is of the devil, God instituted Judaism. The problem with Judaism was in Jesus' day was its leaders, because its leaders wanted tradition. You know what tradition is? That which man invents. Religion and tradition is of man. But Bible teaching, doctrine is of God. I want to say this to you tonight. I want you to think about it. Our problem today in missions is we base our judgment on who we're going to support. And I don't know if you're a pastor, I'm not saying you do this, preacher, but this is what you got to understand. I've been to a lot of churches, and I hear preachers talk. Man, that guy was sharp. Man, that guy had a great presentation. Man, that guy has a radio voice. Man, that guy could be on the radio. Man, that guy hit the people. It just seemed like they melted in his presence. And then you also see some missionaries that you think, that guy's a dud. One of the greatest missionaries I've ever been around, brother, was in Northern Ireland. Ask Jerome Pittman his name. He'll tell you about him. Jerome and I used to go visit him. We'd preach for him. His name was Alan Fox. He was from North Carolina. Brother Alan couldn't raise a lot of support because he was so shy. Man, when he got in the pulpit, he could preach. But a lot of times you don't get in the pulpit as a rookie, amen. And he wouldn't preach a lot, so they didn't know that. But he was shy, and he'd walk around kind of like this. Man, I'm telling you, that guy took a church that had been some missionary had been working on for 30 years. And in 2 years, that church was indigenous, running over 100 people in Londonderry, Ireland, amen, Northern Ireland. You know what the Bible says here? The Bible says that there were some things here that we have a right to look at, and you have a right to examine in me if I come and say, hey, I want you to invest in Brother Males. I want you to invest through Brother Males and Cleveland Baptist Church. I want you to support us, amen, and let us make your finances and your ministry abound in other parts of the world. Well, let me tell you something about these men. First of all, if a man of God is really called of God, you know how you're going to know it? Investigate his background. If he's not a worker in his home church, if he's not involved, as the Bible says, Paul and Barnabas are involved in the ministry here. Listen, if he's not involved in the ministry that he's sent out of, amen, then he's not going to do it when he gets overseas. Dr. Cummins used to say it this way, if you boys will not do the ministry here in college, you won't do it when you get out. Young lady going to college, right? They can teach you everything you need to know, but if you'll not put it into practice when you get out, it does no good. College doesn't mean you're successful. Think about this. Look at verse 2. I want to show you something amazing here to me. This, like, honestly convicts me. I'm talking about as a preacher and a leader in church planning. I'm the pastor until we turn it over, amen? I mean, this convicts me. Look what he says. As they ministered to the Lord in what? Who's they here? It's the church. The church at Antioch, amen? Who's they? The whole church. Not just these men, I believe, the church. Even if it was just these men. You know what's amazing? They are fasting and praying. When's the last time you saw a New Testament, fundamental, independent, King James, Baptist church fast? When's the last time you saw Cleveland Baptist as a whole church take every Thursday off and fast and meet at the church and pray? We don't do that stuff anymore. And as a result of that, the Bible says as they fasted and prayed, the Holy Ghost said. Friend, let me tell you something. Those three words, amen, are the most powerful words in this context. context. The Holy Ghost said. You know what's wrong with our churches today? It's not Republican, Democrat. It's not the Sodomites taking it from us. Our churches today know nothing of the leadership of God. We wouldn't know, as B.R. Lincoln said, the old West Virginia preacher, the old evangelist. Our ministries, if the Spirit of God left them today, they would continue on and nobody would know the difference. I'll tell you what we need today in church planters. We need this in our churches and we need it in our church planters. We need men that are called of God, men that are filled with God, and men that are led by God. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. God will take you many places. He'll take a man that's willing to go anywhere he wants him to go. Many directions, amen. But always in every direction, God gets the glory. So there's a relationship here. There's a responsibility. And by the way, the responsibility of the church planter is to deliver. Let me ask you this, and we're going to be finished in just a moment. The last two things are pretty straightforward. But I want to take you over to Scripture quick. Acts chapter 20, and I want you to look at this with me. And I say this to your encouragement tonight. I really do. I mean to encourage you. You don't support me, so I can't lose anything because I don't have anything. Amen. But I would like to gain something. I told you, Brother Males isn't a fake humility person. Amen. I don't think I'm much, and I don't think there's much about me, but I do think the Lord's blessed the ministry. I think we'll take the support, and I think you'll get some fruit that will abound to your account. Amen? But that's up to you. But I want to give you this tonight, Acts chapter 20, and look with me if you will. I'm sorry, not Acts chapter 20, but Acts chapter 14. I apologize. Verse 20. Acts chapter 14, verse 20. Now think about this tonight. Think about this tonight with me. If we're talking about an investment, and you may not like that use of term, and that's up to you, but if you can come up with a better one, tell me and I'll put it in the message. But the truth is, from what I understand of Paul, Paul's saying, I want to take something from you, I want you to give me something, entrust it to me, so that I can take it for you and make it multiply to your benefit. Does that sound like an investment to you? Sounds like an investment to me, amen. So if an investment requires a relationship, you got to know who you're investing through, and it requires responsibility. You expect something. You expect certain responsible acts by the investor, by the person investing, but you also are expected to have some responsible acts. Then what's it in the end, at the end of the day, the end product? You invest in a 401k for 30 years. What do you expect at the end of that investment? Say it, preacher. A return. You know how many churches have let some investments go astray because we've mixed up the Old Testament with the New Testament? So what do you mean, preacher? Let me show you. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 14, I'm sorry, verse 20. Acts chapter 14, verse 20. Now, Paul, writing to Philippi, says, I have taken this investment, and there's fruit that abounds to your account. What's he talking about? Look at verse number 20. Howbeit, as the disciples, in chapter 14, verse 20, stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, this is a glorious, glorious truth here. Look what he says. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, and returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Now, can I ask you a question before we read on? Is that not what every church planter tells you when they come through this church? We want to win people to Christ, train nationals, and plant churches. Is that not what they say? Amen? You know why they say that? Because whatever Bible college they've been to or institute, any decent preacher that teaches a man to be a church planter, he's going to teach them that their job is to evangelize, amen, preach the gospel, prepare disciples, and plant churches. That's absolutely scripturally true. If you're waiting on me to give you some different scenario, there is none. That's what you're supposed to do. But here's what Paul says. Paul didn't promise it. Paul said, we preached in that city, we taught many, and then he says in verse 22, we were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, and they commended them, to the Lord on whom they believed. That word commended means deposited, as I said in the presentation. They deposited them back to the Lord in whom they had first believed. You know what that means? That means that the Apostle Paul took the investment of Philippi. And with that investment, Paul said, once and again, my necessity in this area of giving and receiving, you communicated. And not just Philippi, but anyone that was involved. And Paul said, hey, here's what we did. First missionary journey, first church planting journey, says this. We came to these cities, we preached the gospel. Some cities Paul preached, they didn't accept it, right? So he shook the dust off like Jesus told them, and he went on his way. But in most cities, people got saved. Sometimes a few, sometimes many. And so Paul, he leaves these churches, he's got some people saved. He says, then we took them and we discipled them. We taught many. We discipled them in the Word of God. We grounded them in the faith. And sometimes Paul was in a town for as little as 3 or 4 or 5 weeks. I mean, sometimes he had to move, amen. But somehow he taught them. He founded them. He based them, amen. And then Paul says, the end product was, we ordained elders in every church, pastors. And then what we did is, we gave them back to the Lord. They became what we call indigenous. This church was started out of Cleveland Baptist Church, under the authority of Cleveland Baptist Church. Cleveland Baptist Church doesn't tell you what to do now, do they? Why? Because you're indigenous. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm saying this. Do you know what you have a right to expect from every church planter that you support, including Brother Males, if you supported him? To have a return on your investment. I'm going to say a bold statement, and you can repeat this all throughout the whole world if you want, and I challenge anybody to prove me wrong biblically. Show me one church planter in the New Testament that didn't plant churches. Show me one. You can't find them. In fact, I'll show you church planting in the New Testament achieving this goal of church planting on a normal basis. The problem is we've gotten accustomed to supporting men for 30 years and they accomplish nothing. And we say, praise God, they're suffering for Jesus. You know what a guy told me in Scotland years ago? My good buddy Ronnie Waters. He's now in America. He said to me, and he was a good friend of mine, he said, Brother Males, he said, I've been in this town called Hoyk. Now, does that not sound like a sinus issue to you? Hoyk. Seriously. I'm not a comedian, believe me. I mean, that sounds weird. Hoyk. It's just, I mean, you can't say it without almost needing to sneeze or something. Amen. Hoyk. And so he said, Brother Males, I've been in Hoyk. And he would always see me at the fellowship meeting. He said, Brother Males, I've been in Hoyk for 5 years, and then it was 10 years and 15 years. And all through that time, preacher, he would tell me, and I mean, it was like, you know how Eeyore on Winnie the Pooh was always depressing? Every time I saw him, it was like, I wanted to see Brother Waters because he's a good guy. South Carolina guy. Wonderful guy. But the thing is, if you got him talking about the ministry, he got depressed. He would always say to me, Brother Males, I don't know what to do. I've knocked on doors, and he did. This guy knocked on doors 6 days a week, brother. I've knocked on every door. I've done it multiple times. Preacher, what am I going to do? He said, Brother Males, I don't understand. You up there in High Bonnie Bridge, you got some people saved. You got an institute. You're working a church. I haven't seen anything. What do I do? I said, Brother Waters, I said, I guarantee you within 15-minute drive any direction of your town, there's another town. Why don't you go to other towns, man? I said, listen, man, shake off the dust and go to another town. You know what he said to me? And I'm not making fun of him. He was as sincere as I'm talking to you today. He said, Brother Males, I'm like Jeremiah. I'm called to hike, and I got to die there. I said, Brother, I'm going to tell you something. Number one, Jeremiah was called to the nation of Israel, and it's a very different scenario than a New Testament church planter. You know where a New Testament church planter is called to go? Wherever the Holy Ghost leads him. And you know how long he stays there? Till either someone gets saved and he can disciple someone with the process and the idea of turning that work over one day, getting it on its own, or he's to stay there as long as he knows he's truly preached the gospel and no one's wanting it. And he goes on his way. Investment. But let me give you the last two, and it'll be real quick. You'll be surprised. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians, if you will. 2 Thessalonians. I'm really a little disappointed tonight with myself. Amen? I really wish you could hear me preach without being sick and choked up. But anyways, maybe someday. Amen? 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. These last two things are not very hard, so it won't take us long. Number one, Paul, that first link, if you will, is the idea of investment. The second link is intercession. Now, this one you know. And when a missionary says to you, I need your prayers, he's right. Amen. We do. But let me show you what Paul says. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And let me just give you what Paul says, because I believe this is what every church planner needs in the area of you praying for us. The Bible says this. The Bible says, finally, brethren, pray for us. So there's the need, right? But it doesn't stop there. There's a comma. Why? Because you know what? Paul really didn't need them praying for all of his relatives. And there's nothing wrong with this. Don't hear me out. Don't take it that I'm rebuking you for praying for a church planter when he gets sick or something. But I'm saying, Paul knew there were some specific areas here that really needed attention, and he wanted to focus them in on this in Thessalonica. He says, brethren, pray for us. Look, number one, that the word of the Lord may have what? Free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. You know what the phrase here, this little phrase, free course, this two-word phrase means? It means to run or walk hastily or to get from point to point. You know what Paul's saying here? Look at this. He said, pray for us that when we go on our church planting endeavors, pray that number one, he says, that when we preach the gospel, when we preach the word of the Lord, that it might have free course, that it might accomplish the purpose that it's sent out to do, that it might get to the heart. But he adds something in there. He says, and be glorified even as it is with you. So if this was me talking, you supported me, you're like the Church of Philippi. You're not Cleveland Baptist Church. You're not my sending church. You're a partnering church. This would be like me saying to you, preacher, when I get over there, could you have the people pray for Brother Males? Because when I get back to Scotland, a country that has over 50% of the population practicing spiritism and witchcraft, our first church we started, Brother Don Gassler, who's on vacation tonight, good friend of mine. Yes, Brother Gassler, him and I have talked many times. He'll tell you about Scotland and some of the interesting stories I've had from there. The first church, 50% of the first church, brother, was ex-witches. They got saved. God can save anybody, amen? But I'll tell you this. It'd be like me saying this to you. Preacher, could you have you and the folks here, thank you for the support, thank you for the investment. Can you intercede for me, preacher? I need you to intercede like this. Number one, pray that the word of the Lord would have free course even and be glorified even as it is with you. You say, what does Paul mean by that to the church of Thessalonica? Let me ask you a question. I believe Avon was your first place you really wanted. I mean, that was on your heart, correct? Brother, when I heard that, I never met you. This is the first time I've met you. But I'm telling you, that broke my heart, and I prayed for you. And I'll tell you why. I grew up here in Ridgeville. I played in that stadium over there many times. And I'm telling you, I don't remember ever my friends that were from Avon, there was no church that they could go to. And you know what? Not everybody's going to drive out to Cleveland Baptist. Not everybody's going to drive over to the west side, the middle of Cleveland to go to church. Not everybody's going to do that. But now there's a church right here on the doorstep of Avon Lake in North Ridgeville. In North Ridgeville. You know what that means? That the word of the Lord has had free course and it's been glorified in this town. How do I know that? Because there's a church here. You know what Paul's saying? I need the same power of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Word of God when I'm preaching over here at Thessalonica as we had when we started the church there in Thessalonica. Pray for us that the Word of God would have free course. But look what the second thing is. He says in verse 2, and that we may be, what's that word? Delivered. You know what the word delivered means? It means rescue. Here's the Apostle Paul asking the church at Thessalonica to pray for him that he be rescued. What is he at? Why doesn't he just call up the government and ask for the CIA team to come in or the SEALs, amen? That's not the kind of rescue he needs. He says this, look, that we be rescued from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. I'm going to let you in on a little secret tonight. Hopefully you knew this. The unsaved world doesn't like us. Isn't that a shock? They don't like us. They don't like our God. They don't like our gospel. In fact, if you read the book of Romans, you'll find that the natural man receives not the things of God. That's what grace is, amen? Thank God for the grace of God. Thank God for John 16, the Holy Ghost and His conviction. Thank God that God saved me out of that and put me into this. Praise God. Amen. But I want you to know something today. Not all men have faith. There are people in this town, and I grew up in this town, and it was a great town to grow up in for human reasons, but there are people in this town that would love to hurt this preacher and destroy his testimony in this town. You know how I know that? You say, but this is North Ridgeville, Ohio. We're like in the top 10 best towns in America to live list. Yeah, but in every town, there's wicked and unreasonable men. There are people in Scotland that know I'm coming back, that heard me preach, that are not saved and they do not like the gospel. They already know I'm coming back. You need to pray for my family that we are delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Amen? But in closing, I want to just give you this. And we'll be done tonight. Go to Acts, the book of Acts. And I want to start in Acts chapter 13 and show you something really neat. And I'll leave you with this thought and we'll finish up tonight. Thank you for your attention tonight. You've been very patient with the coughing and everything else. Appreciate that. Acts chapter 13. It's been a joy to be here with you tonight. I appreciate you having me. Acts chapter 13. Paul desired investment. He desired a link of intercession. But he also desired a link that I think we miss out on today in New Testament church planning from the side of it over here. You know, when you go to the Philippines, you see they do this. Everywhere in Europe that I've been involved in church planning, I've seen this mentality. But we've gotten away from it somehow. He desired involvement. So what do you mean, preacher? I want you to notice this. Acts chapter 30. We're going to do something a little fun now. Do you like doing fun things on Wednesday night? Amen. Get involved. We're going to get involved. You ready? Here's what we're going to do. Now, I'm not an English grammar major, shall we say. This girl could probably tear me up. Amen. She's going to college. You say no? What are you taking then? Oh, I thought, okay, all right, music. Yeah, my son's a musician. You don't need to know anything about the English grammar. He's a musician in West Virginia. He definitely doesn't know anything. Oh, I'm just kidding, preacher. Sorry. That backfired. That backfired. Amen. All right. Well, if it's any consolation, brother, I fit in down there, so I must be just as bad. Amen. Acts chapter 13. Preachers, you know, this is not the way. Can I just tell you, if you're ever called to be a church planner, missionary, this is not the way you get support. Amen. All right. Now look at verse 4, okay? Now what we're going to do is every time we get to a plural word, they, we, amen, us, I'm going to pause and you read it. Now, let me just say this to you, and I'm not trying to revolutionize our church planning mentality because you're not going to do it. We're too traditional. But I think if I showed you history, I can prove to you that what we do today is more Protestant than New Testament Baptist. You show me anywhere in the book of Acts. Show me anywhere in the book of Acts where a church planner went out with him, his wife, and two little kids. They didn't do that. You know why they didn't do that? Because Jesus didn't send them out by once. There's a reason for that. But notice this. Let's look at this. Now look what he says in verse 4. Here we go. We're just going to go through about five verses and we're done tonight. So what's that word? Ready? Being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence sailed to Cyprus. Now, go to Acts 16, all right? I'm going to stay right here in Acts. Acts chapter 16. Look at this pattern. It's interesting. I don't think it's a coincidence. Look what he says. Acts chapter 16, verse 10 now. Acts 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called for to preach the gospel unto... Amen. Now, look at Acts chapter 19. Acts 19. Maybe let's just get you excited about studying this out and you see it for yourself. Look at Acts chapter 19, verse 29. You ready? He says, and the whole city was filled with confusion. Sounds like America. And having caught Gaius... And I'll let you pronounce these. Amen. Articius, men of Macedonia, Paul's... What's that word there? You know what the word companions means here? Fellow travelers, co-absentee from home. In travel, what's the word? Rushed with one accord into the theater. His fellow travelers. Now, look at two more with me. Acts chapter 20, again, we read this chapter, but let's look at this different verse. Acts chapter 20, verse 4, says this. And there, what's that word? Accompanied, amen? Now, can you accompany somebody if you're not with them? No. Look what he says. Into Asia, Sophater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, the book we were reading in, Articius and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus and of Asia, and Eutychius and Trophimus. These going before tarried for at Troas. Now look at one more verse and we're done. Acts chapter 21, verse 4. Finding disciples, what's that word? Tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Say, what's your point, preacher? I'm not trying to come up with something new. I'm trying to get us to look back at something old. Everywhere Paul started churches, he had involvement. I don't believe these men stayed with Paul 24/7. The rest of their lives. But what I do believe Paul did is I believe Paul, when he talks about of Berea and the Thessalonians, I believe Paul would have people from each independent New Testament fundamental, as we would say today, Baptist church, I believe Paul had people that would come along in a team effort and would help him in the ministry of church planning. What we've done today is we're still doing the investment side. We're still giving. We're still hopefully doing the intercession side. Hopefully you pray for your church planners. But the problem we're kind of skipping today, the thing we're missing out on is involvement. Hey, listen. If you ever got a spare couple weeks and you want to go and help do something worthwhile, it doesn't have to be Brother Males, Brother Pittman, whoever it is. Get involved in the New Testament missionary church planners that you support. Go see them. Tell them, hey, listen, I'm here. Hey, if we see a castle, great. If you want to do something, fine. I'm here. Preacher, whatever you need me to do, I'm here to do so that I can be a part of this investment that I've invested in that's going to be fruit that will abound to our account. I'll tell you, folks, your preacher's right. The heartbeat of God is New Testament missions. God is a reproducer. Every church ought to reproduce itself. Whether it's through starting another church like this, or it's also at the same time supporting men and investing for them to go throughout the world and plant churches for your account and future investment. The greatest work in the world is New Testament missions, and it's God's heartbeat. We need to be involved in what God is involved in. But we need these links, amen, so that the partnership is done the way God wants it done.